Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
You are listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here wishing you a happy Easter. And I hope that you'll join me on TikTok. Thanks so many of you have already chimed in and started following me. That's Connie Willis Live and Connie Willis Shop. And even over on Twitter at Connie Willis X. Join me. Good stuff coming your way. Kind of getting away from the old membership private stuff and going out there and showing the world and telling the world everything. So hope you'll join me. And you can always find me at ConnieWillis.com. New website coming, so it's going to be all changing. So at least leave your email for me. Get on the newsletter so that I can pass on to you what's up, what's going on. And if you go over to TikTok and you go to my TikTok at Connie Willis Live, check out Larry the Light Man. You want to see an entity you've probably never seen before? Because I know me and all of us Blue Rockers never seen it before. Look for Larry the Light Man. You're going to go, what? 24 seconds of something that we decided to call Larry the Light Man. Tell me what you think. Leave your comments there. All right, back to saying happy Easter to you. And our guest tonight is Stan Larimer talking about the miracle of Easter. He's got it going on. Cryptonomics.com is where you can find him and learn more. Cryptonomics.com. Also, bitshares.org. Bitshares.org. And those are probably the easiest ones to remember that you can check out. You can, you know, he's got quintrick.com and I don't know what you got, outinspace.com. You got like everything, Mr. Rocket Scientist Stan, the man. I still love all that.
That's true.
I love it. I love it. So before we take some calls, some more calls, is there anything else you want to say before it might get too close to time to go? Because time flies when you're here.
Yeah, well, I think what we could do is back up a week and talk about the events leading up to Easter.
I'd love to hear that.
Jesus revealed that he was the Messiah by deliberately riding into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. He did that because the prophet Zechariah said that's what he was going to do. And so now it's time for another Bible verse, Zechariah 9:9. It goes this way. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So, you know, this, of course, Jesus was familiar with Scripture. He knew that the Scripture said this. So, you know, this doesn't prove that he's Messiah. Anybody could have read that Scripture and rode it on a donkey. But it does prove that he was claiming to be the Messiah because he fulfilled this prophecy that was made something like 400 years or more before the time of Jesus, that he would ride into king. And he would do it very lowly and humbly because he was coming as a suffering servant. Now, when he comes again, he's going to arrive on a great white horse. So he'll be coming as a conquering king then. But this is one of the verses that tells the Jewish people, hey, get ready, your king is coming to you, but he's coming to you in a very humble and lowly state. A large crowd formed at the time. They apparently were aware of the fact that he was riding in on a donkey, proved that he was going to be the Messiah. They spread their cloaks and palm branches on the road in front of him, and they were singing Hosanna and making a big fuss. This scared the religious leaders of the city. They were afraid they would lose their power delegated by Rome if a riot happened. So he rode in through the eastern gate from the Mount of Olives, a gate that has since been sealed up by the Muslims to keep him from coming back that way. When he does touch down next time, he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives, and an earthquake will split that mountain, opening a valley to the east. Half the mountain will move north and half will move south, and it'll open up a big valley leading up to the Temple Mount. So there's a fat chance that that gate will stay closed no matter what humans try to do to keep them up. Thursday night, Jesus ate his Last Supper, the Jewish Passover meal with his disciples on the Temple Mount. He celebrated it a day early because he knew he was going to be dead on the evening of Passover. And so he got his Passover celebration in a day early. He told the disciples that Jesus would betray him and send him away to do it for 30 pieces of silver. He told Peter that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed the next morning. Peter, of course, rejected that, said, "No, Lord, I'll never deny you." After dinner, they went out through that same eastern gate that's now blocked up and stayed at the Garden of Gethsemane overlooking the temple. Jesus asked his disciples to stay with him, and he went off to pray. This is what he prayed. "Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. However, not my will, but yours be done." He prayed that three different times. He was terrified and sweating drops of blood. Then Judas showed up with a group of soldiers and pointed out Jesus with a kiss. Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. Jesus told him to put away his sword and touched the ear and healed it. Peter followed as Jesus was led away, and he encountered a girl who accused him of being one of Jesus' disciples, which terrified Peter because he didn't want to get swept up in it. So he denied it three times. And just as he did his third denial, the rooster crowed, and he realized what he'd done. So he went off, and he wept. Meanwhile, very early in the morning, the Sanhedrin met to accuse Jesus. They sent him to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who examined Jesus, and then sent him off to the local King Herod, trying to duck responsibility for him. Herod tried to get Jesus to perform a miracle for him. Jesus refused, so he sent him back to Pilate. Pilate tried to release him, but the crowd shouted, "Crucify him!" This is the same people that were shouting Hosanna when he rode into town the previous week. So Pilate tried to get away with having him flogged. They used a whip with multiple straps of leather with bone fragments that cut into his flesh, and they gave him 39 lashes. That was the most you could give someone by law because 40 would presumably kill him. Afterwards, Pilate offered to release him, but the crowd wouldn't hear of it, so he washed his hands of the issue and okayed his crucifixion. So, you know, there's a lot more that happened, but, you know, if you want to take some questions, we can do that, or I could go into some more.
Well, no, I just it's interesting that throughout all this time of the year. You got the Palm Sunday, you got the Maundy Thursday, the Good Friday, and the Easter. And it seems like all religions pretty much get involved.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether, you know, obviously the Jewish people celebrate their Passover every year at that time, but they don't acknowledge the events of Easter.
Mm.
And I don't think the Muslims do it at all. They recognize Jesus as a great prophet, but not as great as Muhammad. So they've gone off in a different direction. And, of course, there's lots of other religions that don't talk about Jesus at all.
Interesting.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, okay. So let's go. I'm just thinking of all the things that you've said. I'm just kind of thinking about it.
One of the things that, after Jesus was crucified on the cross, the Jewish leaders were worried because he'd promised to rise again in 3 days, and they didn't want his disciples to steal his body to make it look like he had risen. So they asked Pilate for a detachment of soldiers to guard the tomb for 3 days. They put a seal on the tomb to make sure it was not opened. And then what happened Easter morning? Well, no one could work on the holy day of Passover, so the women had to wait till Sunday morning to take their embalming materials to the tomb. They got there at dawn in time to see an angel rolling away the stone to reveal an empty tomb, which scared the soldiers nearly to death. They passed out and fainted because of the shock of seeing that angel roll away the stone. Now, how did Jesus get out? The tomb was empty when he rolled away the stone. Well, he obviously walked through the walls and right past the guards. The angel told the women to go tell the disciples he's risen. And when they told Peter and John, they ran to the tomb to see for themselves and found the clothes he had been wrapped in, but no body. No one who is going to steal a bloody, gooey body is going to take the wrappings off. So this is further evidence that Jesus has unwrapped himself and before he left when he had his new body on. Later that day, two disciples were walking to the town of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus caught up to them and walked along with them as they discussed what had just happened. They didn't recognize him, and when they got to town, they invited him to stay with them and have dinner. When he broke the bread, they suddenly recognized him, and he vanished into thin air. So this is some of the examples that show the extra powers Jesus had with his new version 2.0 body.
I love that. You are such a programmer. I absolutely love it. Let's go ahead and go to the phones here. Now, you know, be ready. You never know what you might get on these phone lines, right? You never know what's going to come your way. And I know you're prepared. So the phones are full. They're wanting to talk to you. We need more time on the air. East of the Rockies, let's talk to Jeff out of Cleveland. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hey guys, kind of the first time I've called into your show. And please, thank you for taking my call. Please don't take this literally, but I really do have to play devil's advocate here. There's two things that I really need to push back on, that Stan has said that, every religious scholar that I've heard about talked about. And nobody has been able to explain it or counterbalance it with some alternate fact. And that is that, first of all, nobody knows for sure that Jesus was without sin because there were, 18 missing years in which he was not accounted for, and anything could have happened during that period of time. Second of all, as far as the non-believers being doomed to burn in a lake of fire for all eternity, there are countless millions of people, humans and proto-humans, Neanderthals, and the people that followed them, the early Denisovans and Denisovans, whatever, however that's pronounced, and the early Homo sapiens, who lived long before Jesus was ever born and died, needless to say, and they're still finding indigenous tribes hidden deep in rainforests that have never heard the name Jesus before. And I cannot believe that all of these people are going to be damned to hell for eternity because they could not accept Jesus. And that's pretty much what I needed to say. I really would love an explanation of that, and I will listen to your comments off the air. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Stan?
Well, what it all comes down to is, do you believe the scriptures or not? I personally believe that the scriptures are 100% inspired, and that God said everything that he wanted to say. And so I believe everything that appears in the scriptures. And what the scriptures say is, as Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. So since that's what the scripture says, that's what I have to go with. The scriptures say in the book of Revelation that the rest of the dead did not come to life until after the 1,000 years was up, and then they were judged and cast into the lake of fire. Now, I don't know what happens to all the other people that he mentioned, but I do know that that's what the Bible says, and so I'm going to believe that.
Well, there you go. What was his second question? Did you answer both of them?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether I did or not. I think I did, but I don't.
I think, yeah, okay, all right. What about, Jesus without sin through that 18 years that was gone?
Oh, yeah, that was the question. Yeah. Well, we have many verses in the Bible that say Jesus was without sin we know that sacrifices had to be perfect in order to be offered to the Lord. And so that means Jesus had to be perfect in order to be offered as a sacrifice for all of us. That's the only way it's going to work. If he wasn't, then he was. Now, we do have a little story of when he was 12 years old, when he went and stayed behind with the Jewish elders and was sitting and asking them lots of questions. And when his parents got up to him and said, "Son, why did you leave us? We've been looking all over for you." And he said, "Didn't you know I have to be about my father's business?" But then he went home and was obedient to them, it says. So that's a little piece of evidence from one point in his life that he was still without sin. But, you know, obviously, you have to go with what the Bible says, and the Bible says that he was offered as an offering on the cross for our sins, and that would only work if he was without sin.
Stan, happy Easter. Thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Connie. I really enjoyed it. Appreciated the chance to share my faith a little bit with people.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.